You're listening to another segment of Bright New Voices, the Balboa Press Hour here on Hay House Radio, and I'm your host, Jen Morris. The Light of Grace, written by my next guest, author Casey Claytor, takes readers on an epic spiritual adventure as Grace, a newly assigned angel, is given four humans to guide. Follow Grace as she leaps through time and space to guide her humans through clan battles, war, space travel, lost loves, high times, and times of despair, and celebrate with her as they earn their hard-wrought wisdom. Discover the secrets of life in a story that spans thousands of years, how angels and humans communicate, how they manifest their realities, and bring forth their latent abilities. Casey, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, Casey, you've written two books previous to this one, Seven Big Mistakes Investors Make and Seven Laws of Raising Financially Independent Kids. But the theme that I would say seems to be ever present in your messaging is that of transformation. Tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write this book, because it does seem to be a bit of a departure from your previous two.
Well, sure. All my life, I've been a seeker. So not only was I in the financial world, at the same time I was learning different meditation techniques and reading voraciously all the different spiritual texts, including, of course, Louise Hay, and believing that to have well-being, you needed to incorporate not only financial health, but physical health, emotional health, and spiritual health.
Now, you say that your readers have been expressing to you how grateful they are to understand that we already have angels and guides around us. Why do you think that your book connects with your audience in a way that seems to really comfort them?
It's really a peek into the unmanifest through the veil and what it's like from the spirit's perspective when they're looking in on human life. They look in on human life, of course, having all the wisdom and knowledge of what is behind their suffering and behind their experience and their perception, knowing what the truth is. So as we look through Grace's eyes, it's extremely comforting. We see that all the mistakes that we make, we see that the accidents and the traumas and the wounds that we get all have an ultimate purpose for our own good. And of course, we can't see it sitting on Earth.
Now, we've mentioned Grace a couple times here, but tell us a little bit more about some of the other characters in the book. How did you conceptualize them?
It's really interesting because whether in deep meditation or just daydreaming, these characters started coming into my awareness over the years when I thought of writing a book about spiritual truths. And it seemed like they all wanted to tell a story. I've always been fascinated with books of fiction that were set in very different time periods, in the primitive, prehistoric times, Middle Ages, what's around the corner 50 years from now, what's around the corner 500 years from now. And I just let my imagination go and my guidance come through to really flesh out these people. So many people have told me that their favorite character is Mumbi. She's the prehistoric female, of course, in very primitive times. She lives with a clan, and she ends up becoming separated from them and can't find them when she's a very young female, maybe 11, 12 years old in our ages. And she really is a spitfire. She's got a lot of spunk, and she also has help because there is a wolf that is also sent by her guardian angel, Grace, to look out for her. And then next we have Garth, who is a Middle Ages farmer who, growing up, just wants to be a monk or a priest. He's really, really attracted to the church and to Christian religion, and he has a crisis of faith during his young adulthood. And then we move to Arnita, who is about 50 years in the future. And this particular character and her time period is really interesting because I was shown in my imagination and through divine guidance that there are several cures for what we're going through right now. You know, we have problems with the ecology, you know, the environment, global warming, politics, all that is so disturbing right now. And 50 years from now, in Arnina's time, it shows how all these things were worked out. which is pretty fascinating. And people have written me and said, I'm so glad that you showed these different solutions to these problems. And then, of course, we go all the way out to Alistar, who is 500 years in the future, where we are not living just on Earth. I don't want to give too much away.
Sure.
But he studies consciousness, and, of course, he's on the verge of total enlightenment. That's a whole nother trip.
They're so dynamic and fascinating. I love the characters that you've created. Do you have a favorite one? Is there one that you identify with more than another, or is that like picking a favorite child?
Yeah, I couldn't really. And as most authors will tell you, every character has a piece of them in it.
Sure.
So I can identify with all of them. I love them all.
As does your audience. Well, you have a quote in your book that you say encapsulates your message, and I want to read it for our audience now. You say, quote, there are unforeseen consequences to all actions and decisions. The ultimate result will always be for the soul's greater good, even though the human cannot see it at the time. Detours, wrong turns, mistakes, wrong beliefs, they all end up writing themselves down the road. There is a gift in each error. There would be much less suffering if this fact were known. Does that message really come down to us learning how to lean in, to accept what is and release a bit of the control that so many of us always try and hold on to?
Absolutely. You know, we pretty much know in this day and time with our spiritual reading that fighting what is the cause of suffering. So if we continue to reject what's happening, fight what's happening, thinking that it should be a different way, we can't transcend it. And transcending it is by totally accepting it, like Byron Katie's Loving What Is.
You have so much to offer, Casey. There are so many things that you are involved in. I know that your website is full of resources. There's a quiz to find out where people fall on a scale of money consciousness. There's free subscriptions to weekly inspirations, newsletters with articles, events, and ideas for well-being and other support for people's spiritual journeys. The website I do want to mention for our audience is caseyclaytor.com. That's CaseyClaytor. Is there anything else that you want to add to that? Anything else that we might be able to find on there? I know that you also wanted to mention that you offer meditations as well on another site.
Yes. On the other site is Insight Timer. It's a meditation app, and I do have a small entry there, which is an introduction to meditation. So if you're interested in meditation and you have perhaps learned years ago or you don't have a regular practice, it's just a jump start to get back into meditation or start meditation. Also on the Casey Clater site, I have a reading list, recommended reading, and we have recommended readings for different topics. So if you want to have more financial health, there's recommended readings for that. There's readings for physical health. I'm certified in Ayurveda, which is the ancient yogic method of healing, and I'm also certified with the meditation through the Sherpa Center. So there, I do classes on that, and I also write articles that I post in a blog on that site. So you can read the articles that have tips and good advice for well-being all around.
Well, you certainly are a busy woman, and we really appreciate your time today. Congratulations on the book. Thank you so much for being on with us, Casey.
Well, thank you so much for having me.